get started?
Amen.
Good evening for Wednesday night Bible study. Continuing the Torah for teaching. Lower down a little bit there. All right. A little loud. So yeah, God is setting us apart. Kadosh, He's setting us apart. Kadoshim, set apart one. Setting you apart. You know, the Father's pulling us out of this world of darkness, of death, and bringing us into life. You know, Yeshua said in the book of Mark, He was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And He said, He's the Elohim of life, the living. He's not the Elohim of the dead. He said, I'm not of the dead, I'm of the living. The world is a good and evil. Jehovah gives life, and we're to be set apart from death to life and give life to someone else at any given moment. And that's something I want to share before we get into the Torah portion tonight. You know, we go through Torah portions. We're doing whatever we do on an individual basis at home. God gives us talents, and He gives us a big responsibility. As we learn to obey His commandments, we obey His commandments, we're putting on life. When we reject His commandments, when we disobey them and profane His name, we just tell them straight up that we'd rather be on the course of a dying and not ever come back. Because that's what the course of the world is on. You know, Pastor made a very good point about the tree and knowledge of good and evil. With the world full of sin like it is, everything around us is a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so we have Shabbat on Saturday, the seventh day, to give us a brand new start. We're in the world all week long around the knowledge of good and evil. And it's a good time to come here and be gathered up, like He said, to be set apart and come out of that. So if we take that one day and stay focused that whole day on the Torah and doing the things that He says, just one day, then the rest of the week will be a whole lot easier. But if we can't set apart just one day, don't believe that we're going to make it the rest of the week and try and be set apart. Just that one day is our training and our practice to live the Torah, obey the commands, and put on life, and come out of death. And all that happens when He says in His commandments, He says, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And loving Him is obeying His commandments. That gives life. He's given us life when we obey His commandments. And love your neighbor as yourself. So if we're there bearing fruits of righteousness, bearing fruit of righteousness of life, and giving life in the life that we're living, we have a chance to give it to somebody else. Those fruits that we bear are fruits of giving life to someone else. That's loving our neighbor as ourselves. And I wake up in the morning before my fishing trips, when I have a fishing trip, and I always ask the Father, there's people I don't know. A lot of times I have people I don't know. I say, Father, I don't know these people, but You know them, You know everything about them. If there's something else to say, I'll be willing to say it. Whatever You want to say, I'll say it. But if there's nothing to say, just to be salt and light, that's what I want to be, just salt and light. I want to do the best that I can to be salt and light. And I'm very thankful that You're giving me these talents to be able to produce and give fruit, share fruit, just in the life that I live or something to tell about the Torah. And so for the last couple of weeks, you know, I've had like a little say-so here or there, but nothing real big. But last week going into this week, not one, but two, but three different trips in a row, I had opportunity, questions asked, and to be able to talk. And it's like, I was a kid in a candy store. I was so excited to be able to share things. There's this one guy that I do know. I'll start with that one. He lives right next, he doesn't live next door, but he's got a condo right next door to where I fish. And his relative used to take fishing quite a few years ago that bought the condo. He was a pretty hardcore Baptist. You know, we had some talks, but he stood his ground. I had to love him and do that. And he died a couple years ago. Well, his family went and purchased the condo, and I get to talk with them a lot. They go to a church, they have their Bible study, and you know, we just kind of conversate every now and again. There's no real big thing. And there was one day a couple of weeks ago that I got a text message from him saying there's this lady that kind of talks like y'all and acts like y'all. And so I shared with her through his phone what we do. And she said, Shabbat Shalom right back. She was excited to hear somebody that's a Torah keeper. I said, oh, that's great. Well, I forgot all about that. That hadn't been talked about in a while. And then he came down, and then he called me up on the phone the other day and said, listen, remember that lady I told you about? He said, let me give you the spill on her a little bit. She's a lady that has had some real bad guy relationships. She's been abused, immoral things. Oh, it's a pretty bad situation for her. And so she came to them, and she didn't have a whole lot. She needed a place to stay. So they helped her. He rents houses, by the way. So he rented it out to her and helped her out a lot. She didn't have a phone. So he was kind of like a dad to her. But he would communicate with her through his wife, which is a good thing to do. You know, let the ladies, you know, handle everything together rather than put yourself in a bad situation. So long story short, she would have those bad situations. And so he shared Jesus with her, you know. You know, you need to get Jesus in your life before you get another guy in your life. And so she took that to heart. Just those words that guy gave her was important. So she started looking around for a church. This is about, I don't know, about a year now. She found a church, and she's been going there. And that's when he said, I sent you a text message of something that she's doing is like y'all doing, a Torah keeper. Well, they called me up and said, listen, they had that Pesach, a big group Torah keepers way up in, I think he said Missouri, they had a big gathering of Torah keepers for Pesach and a big assembly. They got together, and while I was down there fishing, she called me, got excited, said, I done got married. He's like, you know what? You done got married? He said, yeah, I met me a Torah keeper, and I already knew right off the bat, this is the guy for me. He said, so I'm really concerned. He's like, what do those people do as far as Judaism and all that? How do they do weddings? So I was able to share with him Mariana and Tyreek's wedding, a chuppah wedding, and what's involved. And I got to share with him a little bit of what Yeshua, he's our bridegroom, he's our bride. I mean, we're the bride, and he's the bridegroom. So I got to share a lot of that. And so I said, hey, I don't know how personally you do. You've been taking care of that end of the deal. I really don't know. You know, just keep praying for her, maybe conversate with her when she gets back down. And so I got off the phone with him. I was in my taxi during the office working. And I'm like, man, you know, we've been this many years, at least 3 or 4 years, knowing one another, and we've been having all these conversations. And so I did this. The Lord led me to send him this little text message. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Here it is. I said, listen, I'll send him a text message. I'm going to send you what we read and study each week. All believers all over the world who follow Messiah, known to most Christians as Jesus, but in Hebrew, Yeshua. Just look over what I'm going to send you and think about the Hebrew words and their meanings, and then message me back on this question, and don't answer me back until you look it over. And the question is this: how can we know anything about God by reading an English translated Bible without the knowledge of anything from a Hebrew perspective? And I left it at that. Well, I worked in my office all day, early morning to evening, and you know, your mind starts wandering. You're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't. But I know he told me to send it. You start thinking, your mind starts wandering. 5 o'clock come around, I'm just finishing up my birthday. I got a phone call. And he called. I said, hello? It's like, the answer is, you can't. I said, excuse me? What are you talking about? The stuff you sent me? You can't. I said, oh, you looked at the slides? He said, I looked at all the slides. I read them all. He said, you cannot read an English Bible and understand the thing of God, knowing who he is, without looking through Hebrew eyes. And that got me pumped up. Because a lot of times you get rejection or you don't have to talk about it. And he said another thing. He says, I already know a little bit about Passover and Easter. He says, I know that's a pagan holiday. He said, I believe highly that's a pagan holiday, and I'm going to cut that off the list. And he says, so let me ask you some questions. And so that was just one. I don't have time to talk about it tonight. But it got really big, and we got to talk about a lot of things. And he said, I do have to share this, though. He said, I always knew there's no way that Jesus could be God. He said, because it always says he's at the right hand of the Father. He said, it just never made any sense for him to be mixed. I said, that's good. And he said, another thing I had to share when you showed me in here, he said, looking through these slides, I can see how God made, through that language there, that you can look at things through imagery and understand things a whole lot clearer. You know, just by looking at the Hebrew letters. It's a pictograph reading. Because he looked at a couple of those. Who knows where this is going to go? But you gotta be getting this stuff and learning it and living it and being the fruit of it to give it to somebody else. Now, had I not done any of this, known any of this, or shaped any of this, who knows where it might ever come? Because Yeshua, the Father says, why did you do what I gave you? He gave us some talents. He gave us the opportunity to live it and get life on us through the living Torah, through Yeshua, to get it to somebody else. Love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, and you get life. That's what the Torah does. When we obey the commands, we get life. When we produce that fruit, somebody else comes along. Second thing that happened to me, it was the next trip or two. It was, I took some people from Colorado fishing, and I could tell that they're not like, you know, they got it. They just like everyday people in the world. Fishing, drinking, having a little fun. And so this young lady that was on there, she had, you can tell, she talked different than the rest. They talked like they're from Colorado. She had a strong British accent. And it was a little funny to hear that, you know. She had a fish grabbing onto a pole, and she's like, what do I do? What do I do? I said, hold it up, hold it up. She got a bull red on it. And so we went through that story of, I threw it in the boat, and she ran to the front of the boat. She's like, does it bite? Does it bite? And she's afraid of the fish. You know, I'm experiencing all that that morning, and I'm trying to explain to her, look, fish isn't going to hurt you. And I got her into it the second or third time, catching some fish, and she started liking it. And I started telling her about my British accent. I was like, look, I said, when we was kids, we used to, I remember little girls and all, they all used to play tea, and I used the British accent a little bit, you know. I go, you know what you would say it. And she started laughing, y'all really did that? I said, yeah, that's what we did. And we just, she said, well, I want to let you know something. You got a funny accent, too. I said, I do. She said, yeah, why do you say boy instead of boys? Stuff like that. You say girl, but you don't say girl. You say ball. I'm like, so we're having this conversation, just kicking them on all day long. Her and her husband, she had a husband there. You know, went throughout the day, we never talked about God, we never shared anything. I got my ZZs on, didn't have any mood to say anything. And her and happened to be out there on a fishing trip. And you know, he would ask me if I was catching fish, and yeah, I'm tearing them up. So he'd come over there and he'd catch bull reds. And then I left and went somewhere else, he left. But at the end of the day, he texted me and said, hey, I found some slot reds at that little spot. I was like, all right. So I went over there. And I went and caught some fish there. We finished that day. Got in. These people, when they got there that morning, they had come in an Uber. And so when we got back, I said, how are y'all going to get back? He said, we're just going to call the Uber driver back. I was like, all right. So they went to the marina. They put their fish there, and they paid for it to be shipped to Colorado. And I went to clean up my boat, forgot all about them. And I was like, I left my basket with them. I gotta get my basket. So I go on over there, and I go in the marina, and I get my basket from the fish cleaning place, and I turn around. There's my people sitting by a bench. I was like, hey, how you doing? They say, oh, we're so glad you passed by. We're just texting you. Our Uber driver ain't coming. We're stranded. And so I'm thinking to myself, I said, where are we going with this, Lord? And so I sit down and I said, I'm not going to leave y'all stranded. But boy, I was tired, let me tell you. I was really tired the last couple of days of fishing. And so I'm sitting there talking to him, trying to figure out. I called or text Sister Nicole. Because I remember her having somebody, Pastor Josh, or somebody brought some people that got stranded down here. So maybe somebody going to make some extra money. Sister Nicole says, Pastor Josh is on the boat, come in, but I ask him. And so while I'm sitting there waiting for him to call me back, this British girl starts asking me questions about God and stuff. And so that just started, I started sharing with her. So I noticed you say and do things that are really, so make a long story short, I don't have time to get into it, but she wanted to ask, where do we come from and what do we do? And so I started sharing that story about Yeshua, about Torah, keepers. A lot of details. She's like, wow, you're just picking up the puzzle pieces. And I said, and you're British. You come from over there, all the lost tribes of Israel. And I started sharing all that. She's like, wow. I said, there's something about you. And I'm sitting to myself, there was something about that lady all day. You know, your father just has this draw. You can tell something, but you just can't quite put your finger on it. And so while we're sitting there talking and conversating, my phone rings. It's Brother Herman. He said, hey, brother, what you doing? He said, I'm over here. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm working on my garden. I'm planting me a garden this year. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I got my people that are stranded over here. Come on, really? So I'm waiting on Pastor Josh, but I don't think he's back yet. He goes, well, how many? I said, four people you had to go? I said, yep. He goes, man, let me call you right back. So he called me back a few minutes later. He goes, stay right there. I'm coming. I'm going to take him. I said, hey, y'all, my friend Herman, he's going to take you out. Oh, y'all a hero. What are you, all excited? And like, we're so thankful. But who knows? I haven't got to be able to talk to Herman since that incident a couple days ago. He went and get in my house. I'm not supposed to be saying that, but he went and got a little getaway place for after the hurricane. And so anyways, I haven't been able to talk to him. Who knows where that story went? Well, Brother Herman, you know, God sets you up. You can't write these stories. You can't. It's just incredible. And then they had another one happen. I don't have time to get into all these stories. But my point is, if you're in doing what he's telling you to do, he's going to use you mightily. And then look at Pastor Jess and Pastor Charlotte. They just went to Indiana. Who knows all that? I haven't got to hear too many stories then, except about the turkey story a little bit there, but that was a very interesting story. But yeah, God can use you mightily if you let him use you. So understanding Yah's likes and dislikes in the Torah teaching. And the Torah teaching we're on right now is Emor, speak. The last Torah portion was on Kodeshim, Kodesh, is to be set apart. Kodeshim, set apart ones, in the plural. And Emor, the Hebrew for speak. And you're referring to what I was just talking to a second ago. There's two slides. I may not get to them tonight. But I do want to read these two slides. I don't know what numbers they were. I don't remember. I may get to them, may not. Let me just read them without even showing them yet. Set apart living calls for a service that seeks to please Elohim. And so in reading of all the offerings that are acceptable and those which are not, we can deduce from these that what we offer up in rendering our lives being set apart must not be done with a half-hearted attempt, but rather we must give our all. What you offer represents yourself. Keep that in mind. What you offer represents yourself. And so if your intention is not to bear fruit in the kingdom and let others eat of the good fruit, if your intention is not to bear fruit in the kingdom and let others eat of the good fruit that you are supposed to bear, but you only serve when it is beneficial to yourself, and you will only give of yourself when it suits, and only you can enjoy the fruit of that which you give of yourself, then do not offer yourself a service in his house. And that was another thing. The last couple that I had, I brought them fishing 2 years ago. They wanted to come fishing and never could afford to come. And they finally was able to afford to come. They come from Baton Rouge. And I brought them fishing, and when we got back to the dock, we was able to share a lot of words there, a lot of good words. And one of the words I got to share with them was talking about this house. If this house is mixed with dead things, God doesn't want to dwell there. He wants to dwell with the living. Again, He's the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. And so that's what I was sharing with them. I said, this house has got to be right and set apart for him to dwell in. So more, Hebrew for speak, in Torah, Leviticus chapter 21, 1 through 24 and 23, and the half Torah, Ezekiel 44, 15 through 31. The three letters for more is Aleph, Mem, and Resh. Aleph is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet and the first number. The original pictograph for this letter is a picture of an ox head, representing strength and power from the work performed by the animal. This pictograph also represents a chief or a leader. Yehovah is the one in power and authority over all. He's the Aleph, the beginning, and the head. Mem, the earliest Semitic pictograph for this letter, is water. A picture of waves of water. This pictograph has the meanings of liquid, water, and sea, mighty and massive from the size of the sea, and chaos from the storms of the sea, and the nations. Resh, the ancient picture for this letter, is the head of a man. This letter, and you can see him right there, see him? Aleph, Mem, and Resh. This letter has the meaning of the head and man, as well as chief, top, beginning, and first, each of which are the head of something, leadership. Emor, or speak, words from Yehovah, the one in power and authority over all, for the nations through the leadership. The words of Yehovah were given to Moshe to speak. Today we have the Song of Moshe and the Song of the Lamb that speaks to us today. We have a teaching on that. The Song of Moshe, the Song of Moses, and the Song of the Lamb. In Revelation, it speaks of it in chapter 15, verses 2 through 4. And I saw like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those overcoming the beast, and his image, and his mark, and the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of Elohim. And they sang the song of Moshe, the servant of Elohim, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Jehovah, El Shaddai. Righteous and true are your ways, O Sovereign, of the set apart ones. Who shall not fear you, O Jehovah, and esteem your name? Because you alone are kind, because all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your righteousnesses have been made manifest. So we see here through Moshe and Yeshua, it's in harmony. Looking at what we're looking at today in Leviticus chapter 21. All in harmony. From the words of Yehovah to Moshe, the words of Yehovah to Yeshua today, they work in harmony. Leviticus chapter 1, 1 through 9. And I want to read that. I'm not going to go through the slides. It says in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and Yehovah said to Moshe, Speak to the priests, the son of Aharon, and say to them, no one is to be defiled for the dead among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, for his mother, for his father, and for his son, for his daughter, and for his brother, for his maiden sister who is near to him, who has had no husband, for he is defiled. A leader does not defile himself among his people to profane himself. Do not make any bald place on their heads, and do not shave the corner of their beard, and do not make a cutting in their flesh. They are set apart to the Elohim, and do not profane the name of the Elohim. For they bring the fire of offerings of Yehovah and the bread of their Elohim, and shall be set apart. They do not take a woman who is a whore, a defiled woman, and they do not take a woman put away from her husband, for he is set apart to his Elohim. And you shall set them apart. He brings the bread of the Elohim. He is set apart to you. For I, Yehovah, setting you apart, am set apart. And when the daughter of any priest profanes herself by whoring, she profanes her father. She is burned with fire. I'm going to go to slide 66. I'm sorry, yeah, 66. Mm-hmm. There was a stricter expectation placed on the priest who served in the tabernacle. An requirement to ensure complete set-apartness was extremely vital, or else they would find themselves being struck by fire of Elohim, as they had witnessed by the example of Aharon's two sons, who brought profane and strange fire and paid the price for their ignorance and pride. What we must understand now is that we, collectively, as the body of Messiah, are a royal priesthood, and therefore set-apartness is vital for us all, as we are reminded through the very clear words of Kepha. But I'm not going to go that far, but we see right here, just like Aharon's sons, they were told strict rules, how to do certain things, to be set apart, because it's life. Yehovah is the God of life, life-giver, gives life. He's not the God of the dead. And so for them to come profaning his name, bringing dead works, it had to die. The fire is going to burn it up. And so we see that in the Torah portion also about any daughter that would profane the name, and she would be burned with fire. And he was always taught, if you keep doing that wrong thing, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. There is some truth in that, but it's got to be taken in the way he talks about it. You got to be clean from sin. Sin leads to death. Death is what destroys us. And that's what's going to happen to the whole world. This world that we live in is perishing. So he's trying to pull us out of the world that's perishing and give us life. Yeshua is a life giver. He's the living word. He's the pure living word. When he died, he was raised from the dead. And I'll never forget this as long as I'll live. The pastor gave that great example of when Yeshua made it to the Father. He was just running around, I made it. Because I'm pretty sure he was setting his mind when he was being put on the cross, Father, this is not easy right now. It doesn't look really good at all. I don't see us standing together in the heavenlies right now, together, me at your right hand. He's being pierced. He's being hammered on every side, and he's bleeding and dying out. And he's taking his last breaths, and they're offering that in the sponge to his mouth. And, you know, that's not a pretty picture right now, what he's going through. And in the next minute, down the line, he's at the right hand of the Father. Everything you said, I did, and I made it. And so it's the same thing with us. Just follow my commands. When you obey my command, you don't transgress the Torah, you're putting life on. You'll be receiving life. But if you keep transgressing it, you're going to keep putting back where you came from, back to death again. I was thinking yesterday, of a conveyor. How you put the shrimp on them, you keep falling into the basket. I'm thinking about people every day are living, and death is happening every day. Some fastest shape or form is death happening. Everybody's living like nothing's ever going to happen. You know, on that conveyor belt, nothing's going to happen. You know, it's all going good. And then all of a sudden, off the conveyor belt you go. Mm-hmm. It's going to end. It's going to perish. But yet, Yehovah, with his son, puts a force field of grace around us while we turn to gray and perishing. You see the grace. We're perishing, but he gives us this grace through Yeshua HaMashiach. For us to get in there and start living the Torah, putting it on, living the life, loving Yehovah with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. And as we live in it, bearing those fruits of righteousness, being clothed in righteousness, someone walks into your path that Yehovah set you up with, and you're able to share life with them and give them a chance to have life. And that's what it's all about. All of them stem on those. That's the top ones. Love him with all and love your neighbor as yourself. And so Aharon's sons are a prime example. Keep playing with it. Death will suck you up quick. And when this flame comes, that's what's going to happen. Slide 68. We who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light must walk in Messiah, our high priest and king. And therefore we serve as a royal priesthood, able to draw near to Elohim, having our conscience sprinkled by the blood of Messiah. He's the only man that has the pure blood that came from the Torah to cleanse us from unrighteousness. He's alive and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. If we do not live set apart according to the Torah, we are in great danger of profaning his name, which we ought to bear as his children. Every time we profane his name and disobey what he says, We tell them, look, we just want to die. We don't want to live. That's what I actually tell them. Every time we want to go back and kind of mingle around the world a little bit, we don't want it. We just want to die. You know, and people might not want to ever think that way, but it's actually what we're doing when we reject this Torah. When we reject this Torah, we're rejecting life that's for us. I was reminded of a little story this morning when I woke up. I think about it a lot. My grandmother from my father's side, the Rudolphs, I only got to spend a little bit of time with her when I was growing up because she was of a religion that they just don't believe if you're not a boss, then we can't even talk to you. But I remember when I did get that visiting rights to go with her when I was little, I remember I bring my bicycle and one of my cousins would come over. And this is referring to making mistakes of losing your life like the Torah and rejecting it. So anyways, I got there one day and was on our bicycle riding around the yard and she had this clothesline for your clothes, put clothes up on. And they had this piece of foam hanging on it. We're riding bikes. And my cousin, he gets a stick and he hits it one time while riding bikes. And I said, oh, that was cool. So I picked me up a stick and I followed on. I hit it. We keep riding around in circles. We hit it again while a piece of foam flies off. And we hit it again. We're just having a ball. We tore that foam to a million pieces. And my grandmother come outside. She goes, Chad, what did you do? I said, what you mean? You just beat up your pillow. And I lay on the ground and I cried because that was my, I love my pillow. Everywhere else I went, that was my pillow. And I tore my pillow off. And I couldn't believe it. She says, but I honestly didn't know. I saw somebody else, my cousin, hit it with a stick. But it tore me apart. I cried because that was my pillow. That was my pillow. And I went and got a brand new one, but I couldn't sleep because it didn't smell the same. Like Linus little blanket, that was my pillow. And I'll never forget that one. And it made me think about that when Yehovah gives us his son. I says, yeah. And we keep rejecting it. We reject it. Do you understand what you're rejecting? It's not a pillow. This is your life you're rejecting. I'm trying to give you life. And you keep rejecting it. And then you want to change and mingle it to something else that fits you. For what? So you can feel better? You're gonna die mixing my word. You can't mix my word, it's life. You mix anything else with it, it's death. Mold, mildew, no good. It goes to death, you can't mix it. I said, don't add to it and don't take from it. It's no good. We have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. We must walk in Messiah, high priest and king. And therefore we serve as a royal priesthood. Able to draw near to Elohim, having our conscience sprinkled by the blood of Messiah. If we do not live set apart according to the Torah, we are in great danger of profaning his name, which we ought to bear as his children. I believe that too. Whenever the Father sets up guys to come up here and speak on Wednesday, Friday evening, it's almost like saying, Yehovah, I got some other things that are a little bit more important. You know, I really don't need no life right now. I got some other agendas that's more important than life for me. It's for our life. It's for our life. It's not just because Pastor Jesse or somebody said we're going to have Wednesday nights. It was ordained by Yehovah. I said, listen, the conveyor belt's cruising. The time's running out. And I can tell you, pushing myself to do these door portions has been opening up my eyes more and more and seeing more. And it's hard to explain. It's like I don't even want to affiliate myself with a lot of things because I see it. But at the same time, you have to, because you have to be a light out there. You could be separated from it, in it, but not of it. And Yeshua did it really good. And I'm going to continue to learn how to do it. The Hebrew word that is used for profane is kalah. Kalah. Strong's H2490, which means to bore, tear, to pieces, wound, or kill. Now, how do we wound, tear, tear to pieces or kill his name. Well, that's very simple. In a nutshell, it means that when you misrepresent or misuse his name through walking in lawlessness and sin while proclaiming to be in him, you are profaning or wounding the very name that saves. Walking in disobedience after having been brought into his marvelous light is a way of profaning his name. In essence, what this verse is saying is this: when you do not live set apart lives, you profane the very name that sets apart. It gives life. We'll move on to slide 99. Went through a lot of these slides all the way down again. I'm just picking certain ones out that I just, the Lord shared with me to share and what I've been working on in my life. Leviticus 21:9. And when the daughter of any priest profanes herself by whoring, she profanes her father. She is burned with fire. Verse 9 warns that even by the whoring of a daughter, a priest is defiled. Titus 1:6 tells us that the children of a leader are to be believers that are not to be found being accused of loose behavior or unruly. This is how serious Elohim takes the role of headship of the home and leadership in the community. For even the priest's children are to live set apart lives, as the sons would inevitably become priests, and daughters are expected to live true set apart lives. If a daughter is found to be whoring, she would have profaned her father, who would not be able to serve in the tabernacle, and therefore she would be burned with fire. Now, when we see this picture, we must recognize that as harsh as it sounds, we shall see the punishment of this at the end of the judgment after the second resurrection, where those daughters, the nations, who are not found in the book of life and abhorred, shall be judged with fire. There's your fire right there. In the end, that's what's going to happen. It matches with the Torah. Everything comes off the Torah. It's all in harmony with the Torah. Everything comes from the Torah that we need to live. In 102, it is only through fire that the lineage of the one who whored can be purged. What we must recognize is that the mother harlot has had many daughters who are not walking set apart lives and are whoring after man's ways and defile the set apart name of Elohim, and will face their just punishment should they not repent. That's a big, big statement right there in the commentary. I'm not sure if anybody, maybe I can get a raise of hands, have read the book of Hosea that's in the slides, chapter 2, 1 through 23. I was going to see if I get a show of hands of how many read it, because if I get enough hands, I won't read it. Just lets me know where everybody's at. But I'm going to let y'all slide tonight. We're not going to read it. But Hosea is pretty important to read based on this right here. Because the next slide says, once again, Hosea is a picture of the daughter who was born to him and was called Lurumah, which means not loved, I have no compassion, represents the daughters of Horin, who are to strive with their mother and come out from her and remove the name of the Baals off her lips and call upon Jehovah her husband, and he will take her who had no compassion as a bride to himself in righteousness, as he shows compassion upon a repentant bride. And so Israel chose to go back to death. They went to the Baals. They rejected everything that he said. Everything that we're learning here is what they had. And then they lost it back to death again. And he says, but I'm going to give you away. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to love my bride. I'm going to bring you in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, I'm going to speak to your heart. I'll take you from all those Sabbaths and those moons and all those things that you did and went whoring in the wrong direction. And I'm going to bring you back. And I'm going to show you my appointed times, my Sabbaths. I'm going to bring you back as my bride. And that's what he's doing today. All the lost tribes of Israel. Yeshua said, I come for the lost tribes of Israel. And then there's the residual effect of the foreigner and the sojourner that comes just like they came out of Egypt. The Egyptians came out. They were able to be saved and brought back as a bride. So that's why we're being set apart. We're coming out. We're coming out. I was talking to that couple about all this, about where we come out of, all this paganism and all these things that were being taught, how the majority of the churches is all going that way. It was like everybody's going with the world, but there's just this remnant that's going the opposite direction, that's letting Yehovah come in their house, come in there and teach them the Torah, teach them who Yeshua really is. And their eyes were wide open like, wow, they were really interested. Can you show us some of this? So I was cleaning. I had over 70-something fish to clean. I had 30 left. And they're like, can you share that with us? And so I sat down, I pulled up the slides, and I started showing them the pictograph meanings of the Hebrew language. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And then I showed them some other things, what certain words mean. Because what drew my attention to them was that through this whole COVID thing, they kind of did like us. They avoided the vaccines. They did the natural thing. They all got COVID like a bunch of us got. They did the natural thing. They took their vitamins. They prayed to Yehovah. They go to church. They love God. They know Jesus. And they was talking a bunch of stuff. I drew to that. And so they were quick to tell me some remedies that they use at home and some essential oils. And if they pray to the Father, they know the Word. So I'm like, if they can catch on to this stuff, they ought to catch on to this. And they did. They grabbed it and they were looking at it. And they're like, can you send that to us? And so I sent it to them. And I spent 40 minutes doing that while the fish is sitting on the table. Who cares about the fish? I'm talking about life here. And so I get there, and that's what it's called. Do it with your whole heart. Get these talents, and you do it with your whole heart. I don't care if it's dark outside, and I got a light to clean the fish. I'm giving them life. Conveyor belt's going. People's falling off the ledge. You got to think about that. Time's running out. Time's running out. Nobody's promised tomorrow. You may end tomorrow. I don't know. You don't know. I don't wish that on anybody. But everything that you collected, everything that you did, everything that you said, that's it. Once you're in the grave, you're there. And you're not waking up until Yehovah wakes you up. Trumpet sounds, or you're on the other side. I don't know. That's him, the Torah judge. But that's a good read. That is a real good read. When you read that, it locks you into then where they went, where they came from, where we're getting back to. We're going to come back together again. I love talking about the tribe of Israel being pulled apart and being brought back together. It's an incredible story. It's going to be incredible. And through all of the feast days. Slide 122. Speak to Aharon, saying, no man of your offspring throughout your generations who has any defect is to draw near to bring the bread of his Elohim. For any man who has a defect is not to draw near. A man blind, or one lame, or disfigured, or deformed, a man who has a broken foot, or a broken hand. We'll back up a slide. The only way to draw near to Elohim and present our bodies as a living sacrifice is by Messiah. And again, this chapter proves clearly that there is only one way, and the only way by that which is perfect, Yeshua our Messiah. And as you read Leviticus, you see so much of Yeshua in there, because there's a lot of things that we have through Yeshua now that we don't have to do. But every time we make a mistake, we can repent and put it, keep putting on and keep trying. Keep trying. Keep working on it. Yeshua is our high priest. Yeshua is our bridegroom. Yeshua is our king. He's our mediator. He's our lamb. He is the door. And he is the living Torah. He is the living Torah. And that's where I'm drawing my life from. I'm going to continually go to him every day. I've gotten so much closer to him, knowing what he is now, from what I used to know. I can draw close to him and ask him to help me, give me power to every day, everything that I need help with. It's incredible. Slide 149, and this is where we kind of ended on the last Torah portion reading.
Oh,
vital lesson that we're able to take from the ending of this chapter in Leviticus 21 is that it is Yehovah who sets us apart. And without Him setting us apart through the blood of Messiah, we are unable to be set apart and therefore unable to draw near to Him. That's how they were taught, the priest, to draw near to Him. There's the only way, because He's the God of the living. You cannot have any death in you at all, none. You have to be clean, washed, spotless, no sin at all. Because none of that can dwell a glory in His presence. Because it's not His fault that it would happen. It's just His flame of glory that will burn us up if we come within His presence. And so we have a mediator between us and Yehovah to go through. Chapter 22, Leviticus 21. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Aharon and his sons, that they separate themselves from the set-apart offerings of the children of Israel. And they do not profane my set-apart name and what they set apart to me. I am Yehovah. Say to them, any man of all your offspring throughout your generations who draws near to the set-apart offerings which the children of Israel set apart to Yehovah, while he has uncleanness upon him, that being shall be cut off from before me. I am Yehovah. Any man of the offspring of Aharon who is a leper or has a discharge does not eat the set apart offerings until he is clean. And whoever touches what is rendered unclean by a being or a man who has had an emission of semen, or a man who touches any swarming creature by which he would be made unclean, or any being by whom he would become unclean, even of his uncleanness, the being who has touched it shall be unclean until evening, and does not eat the set apart offerings, but shall bathe his body in water. When the sun goes down, he shall be clean, and afterward eat the set apart offerings, because it is his food. He does not eat that which dies, or is torn by beasts, becoming unclean by it. I am Yehovah. I was able to share with that couple how we don't eat unclean foods. And it was, because the guy popped up the question, goes, you know, I read something in scripture that talked about you're only supposed to eat fish that have scales. Do y'all do that too? I'm like, sure. I said, you eat fish with scales. I said, you don't eat catfish because they eat dead things. We don't eat something that eats dead things. I said, pigs, they devour and eat anything and everything. They're real rude and ugly. I said, but sheep, lambs, they don't do those things. They're gentle, they eat grass. We eat of those things. We don't eat of things that eat of death. We don't eat buzzards. We don't eat crabs anymore. We eat crawfish. We eat dead things. We eat things that are good and clean. And so I was able to share a lot of that with them. I said, that makes sense. I said, it's never been done away with. Churches today are doing away with the very thing we need to live. And they shall guard my charge, lest they bear sin for it and die thereby, when they profane it. I, Yehovah, set them apart. And no stranger eats the set apart offering. A sojourner with a priest or a hired servant does not eat the set apart offering. When the priest buys a being with his silver, he does eat of it. And one who is born in his house does eat his food. And when a priest's daughter is married to a stranger, she does not eat of the set apart offerings. But when a priest's daughter is a widow, or put away and has no child, and has returned to her father's house as in her youth, she does eat her father's food, but no stranger eats of it. And when a man eats the set-apart offering by mistake, then he shall give a set-apart offering to the priest and add one-fifth to it. And let the priest not profane the set-apart offerings of the children of Israel, which they lift up to Yehovah, or allow them to bear the crookedness of the trespass when they eat their set-apart offerings, for I am Yehovah who sets them apart. Acceptable offerings. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Aharon and his sons, and to all the children of Israel, and say to them, any man of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, who brings his offering for any of his vows, or for any of his voluntary offerings, which they bring to Yehovah, an ascending offering, for your acceptance, is a male, a perfect one from the calf, from the sheep, or from the goats. Whatever has a defect, you do not bring. You're thinking about Yeshua the whole time you're reading. Whatever has a defect, you do not bring, for it is not acceptable for you. When a man brings a slaughtering or peace offering to Yehovah, to complete a vow or voluntary offering from the cattle or the sheep is to be perfect, to be accepted, that there be no defect in it. Those blind or broken or cut or having an ulcer, or eczema, or scabs, you do not bring to Yehovah, nor make an offering by fire of them on the slaughter place to Yehovah. As for a bull or a lamb that has any limb deformed or dwarfed, you do not prepare as a voluntary offering, but for a vow it is not accepted. Do not bring to Yehovah what is bruised, crushed, torn, cut, nor do it in your land. And from a son of a stranger's hand, you do not bring any of these as the bread of your Elohim, for their corruption is in them, and defects are in them, and not acceptable to you. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, when a bull or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall be 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day and thereafter it is acceptable as an offering made by fire to Yehovah. But do not slay a cow or a sheep and its young on the same day. When you slaughter a slaughtering of thanksgiving to Yehovah, slaughter it for your acceptance. It is eaten that same day. Leave none of it till morning. I am Yehovah. And you shall guard my commands and do them. I am Yehovah. And do not profane my set apart name, and I shall be set apart among the children of Israel. I am Yehovah who set you apart, who brought you out of the land of Mishraim, Egypt, to be your Elohim. I am Yehovah. Here we are with the commentaries. The chapter further emphasizes the need for a priesthood to be completely set apart and not profane the name of Yehovah by treating the set apart matters of Elohim as common. There are many worldly habits that we all still need to get rid of, and here we see the instruction that reminds us of just that. A small example, yet very critical, and an understanding for us today on a practical level, is how we conduct ourselves in everyday circumstances. This is what's helping us. These Torah portions, all these commentaries, every day, when you get caught up in something out there that you would normally transgress this Torah, you refuse to transgress the Torah and put on righteousness, put on life, and therefore reflects that to somebody else, rather than just being like the world itself that's perishing. We don't want to keep perishing. We want to escape the fire that's going to burn up the perishing. We don't want to burn up. We want life, and life more abundantly, don't we?
Right.
It's how we conduct ourselves in everyday circumstances, and even more importantly, how we conduct ourselves when we're gathered together as an assembly, a community, a Messiah, as a set apart gathering. All too often, we sadly see that very presence of Yehovah during a set-apart gathering is profaned in more ways than one when people use coarse joking or when people slander others and lose total regard for the sanctity of his presence when gathering to hear his set-apart counsel of his word. One thing me and my brother Scott and a couple of us have talked about in the past, we'd be here on a Shabbat or we'd be on a Wednesday night or a Friday night, and somebody wouldn't show up, we'd say, man, so-and-so didn't show up again. We've taught ourselves, don't do that. Don't say that. You never said to do that. We're not supposed to do those kind of things. What we're supposed to continue to do is keep our eyes on our cup and keep praying. We lie in our beds at night and wake up in the morning, Father, I thank you, Father, for my pastors, Pastor Jesse, Pastor Josh, I thank you for Brother Scott, Brother Herman, Brother Troy, Brother Rob, Brother Freddie, Brother Jesse, Brother Preston. I know them all by heart. Brother Eddie, I call them all out by name. I thank you, Father, for opening their eyes, their ears, their hearts, and their minds. We get to see more and hear more. Wherever we're making transgressions, when I'm making them, I know I'm making many of them, help us, Father, to see and obey. That's what I do in the morning. That's what we all should do. Not come here and say, oh, so-and-so, oh, this and that. That's called Lashana Rock. I'm not supposed to do that stuff. That profanes his name. And often, too sadly, we see that very presence of Yehovah during the set-apart gatherings profaned in more ways than one when people use coarse joking when people slander others and lose total regard for the sanctity of his presence, when gathering to hear and set apart counsel of his word. We should be doing this here. Paying attention, right? Should be paying attention to Yehovah, listening to Yeshua, what he's got to say. What we need to do on the next course, or what we need to fix in our lives. What we can also glean from these instructions regarding true set-apartness is the fact that we need to make a concerted effort to pull our lives out of those circumstances or events that most would consider normal. As we recognize that having been in exile for so long, we still have many Gentile-like habits and thought patterns that we desperately need to overcome. But if we're not careful, we will end up defiling the set-apart living standards that we're supposed to uphold. The Sabbath is the first major change in living out a new set-apart life that others in the world may consider strange. Yet we must do our utmost to guard an active, set-apart lifestyle that must not be compromised in the least, and when we truly delight in his Shabbat, we will find that the rest of the week, our ability to remove ourselves from common unclean matters will become a lot easier. That's why we've got to try really, really hard on Shabbat to disconnect our minds and thoughts from what the whole week was, things going on, things to participate in. What I don't do when I go home, everybody else might be different. I'm not here to step on anybody else's toes. When I go home, the TV don't come on. I leave the TV off because all the TV mostly filled of is the knowledge of good and evil. That's all it's filled with. I don't want to hear the TV. I don't want to see a TV. And so I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm just telling you what I do at home. Me and my family decide it goes off. We want to go to church on Saturday morning, focus on what he's got to say, and go back home and go over it and over it some more as much as we can, because we're going to be working during the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We get some Wednesday night, Friday night in between, but all week long we're going to be working. We don't have that opportunity to all day be able to focus in and stay focused on the Torah and the set-apart spirit and get ourselves refreshed and clean and shalom. Shalom. There's a lot to that word shalom. It's more than just peace. It really keeps your mind and sound off of the things of the outside world, because we're in it out there every day. I'm around it all the time when I'm on a boat. I hear the people talking the same talk and doing the same thing, and I'm in it every day, every day. There was one Wednesday night I had here. I had it back to back, and I was tired. I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, but my mind was tired. But I said, Father, there's nobody else to put this on. So I'm just going to listen to you and ask for your strength and power to get through this Wednesday night. It was not easy, but you learn. You learn there's just going to be those times where it's going to be tough, and it doesn't go the way you think. It wasn't so easy and relaxed, but you just learn to push. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He didn't say it was going to be peaches and cream. He didn't say it was going to be real easy. His yoke is easy, the burden is light. But to keep feeding on the world and the things that are going to lead us to death, and that's not the way we want to go. He's setting us apart, pulling us out of it. And so, the Sabbath is the first major change in living out a new set-apart life that others in the world may consider strange. Yet we must do our utmost to guard an active, set-apart lifestyle that must not be compromised in the least. And with true delight in this Shabbat, we will find that the rest of the week, our ability to remove ourselves from the common unclean matters will become a whole lot easier. We also learn from these passages that we are to walk in the fear of Elohim, Yehovah, which is the beginning of wisdom, and not treat those set-apart matters of Yehovah as common. We are a set-apart people, and therefore will not find ourselves engaging in what is not set apart, lest we find ourselves profaning his name, which is upon us, and be found guilty of profane living. These instructions remind us that we are to be constantly aware of where we find ourselves and be sure that we do not touch or engage in that which can render us unclean and unable to serve as a priesthood. I can honestly tell you, I've been out there some days and I made some gestures or I said something and I instantly knew it was wrong because the Spirit went, I mean, it was like grief. You couldn't, if I was to come in here, I wouldn't be able to get up here. I would have to sit in the back and not move and say, somebody else take my place. But I can't. It's like if I don't repent right now and get myself right, it's like an instant. You know, when you transgress the law, you know it hits you. It's this heaviness in your heart, like you were so deathly afraid of something. I don't know how else to explain it. And if I don't repent, I can't move. He's not guiding me, he's not directing me, I'm on my own, I'm lost in the wilderness again. And I'll repent that. I'll say, Father, I'm sorry. I don't want to lose your Spirit because I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help. I need your help. I came in here helpless, you showed me where to go. I made a mistake, I'm sorry. To get back on track. And immediately Yeshua's blood pays the penalty, and we ever get right back on track again. But this is serious business. This isn't a joke. This is serious business. This is about life and death. Serious. And not touch or engage in that which can render us unclean, unable to serve as a priesthood. Praise Elohim that we have an intercessor who intercedes day and night for us. And when we sin or are made unclean in any way, we can come and confess our sins to him and be clean and cleansed from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Yeshua. I thank Yeshua every day. Thank you, Yeshua, that we can come back. This, of course, does not give us the license to sin and be lost. I've thought about that many times and like that. That doesn't give us the right to go back and keep doing it again. It doesn't make any sense. I'm saved. I'm born again. Yeshua did that for me. Jesus did it for me. Now I don't have to do anything. That's absurd. It doesn't make any sense. We've got to start working on getting rid of the sin out of our lives. This, of course, does not give us the license to sin and be lawless. But rather, this should drive us to being even aware of making sure that we live our lives in total set apartness unto our Savior and Redeemer and King. This chapter also pictures for us the work of Messiah as the Pesach lamb, of which no stranger may eat of unless the priest buys a being with silver. Yeshua Messiah has bought us with silver, as he has paid the price of our redemption, and now we are no longer strangers or foreigners to the covenants of promise, and without Elohim in the world. But have now been brought near by the blood of Messiah. And that's in Ephesians chapter 2. Silver is also a picture of the purity of the word. Psalms 12:6 says, The words are living. It's life, living. The words of Yehovah are clean words. Silver tried in the furnace of earth, refined 7 times. We know that Messiah, the pure and clean word made flesh, bought us and paid the price by his blood. And now we see in verse 11 that the one bought is not only allowed to eat the set apart offerings, but rather he is required to. We must partake in the Pesach meal each year, but we have no part in him. And we are then further able to eat our daily lawful bread, having been born in his house. From this chapter, it is clear that the requirements for the offering by fire was to be without defect and picture for us Messiah, being our perfect ascending offering. So every time we got ourselves cleared, and we know we're cleared, and in that spot, we know if something was to happen to us that very moment, we wake up, we'd be in the presence of Yeshua, not being burned with fire to never exist again. Because there is 2 resurrections. There's one for the righteous, and there's the one for the wicked. The ones who chose to stay dead, don't want to live. In verse 23, we're told that a bull or a lamb that has any deformed limb or is dwarfed may be prepared as a voluntary offering, but not as a vow offering. What is the same for us here? Romans 12:1, I call upon you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion of Elohim, to present your bodies a living offering, set apart and well-pleasing Elohim. your reasonable worship. That's worship. That's worship. We offer up our lives daily as a living offering as we continue to live set apart lives that is well pleasing to Elohim. And this we're able to do as we voluntarily surrender our lives unto Him. Remember? Half a shekel? Here we are. We're a half a shekel, right? Here we are. We give our lives unto Him. We live unto Him, we get life, and we can share that life with somebody else. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the rest of them hinge on those two commands. Love Yehovah with all your heart, all your soul, all your being. And remember, He says do it with all your heart. Because if you do it all your heart, the fruit that you're going to bear unto righteousness, that's what you produce. You know, give it to somebody else, and they'll get it, and they'll produce it to somebody else. That's the voluntary surrender of our lives unto Him. So while we in ourselves can never be the ascending offering required due to inherent defects and sin, we can offer up our lives as a voluntary offering each and every day. What this also speaks to us is that we can give gifts to Elohim that is not perfect from our excess, yet that which is promised we cannot bring that is not perfect. We must make sure we're not bringing to Him stuff with imperfection. We can't just do it any kind of way. We can't do it the way we want. We can't do it according to the traditions and the religions and the dogmas of men. That was pretty interesting to sit and share with that couple where the churches came with this stuff and put it in there. And you cannot find worshiping God on Sunday in your Bible anywhere. But you cannot find Shabbat on the seventh day in there. And it's in plain sight at the beginning of the Torah. And he said, this is my seal. This is what's going to set you apart. We talk about that. Sunday, now that we look at it, is a counterfeit. And Shabbat, the seventh day, is the seal day. That's the day that's going to set us apart, and that's what He's looking for us to be set apart. That's what He required, and that's where we need to be. And so there was a time that we used to come and we used to worship Him, and we used to praise Him on Sunday with all our heart and all our being. Praise Him. Praise Him and lift Him up. Praise Him. Remember that? Oh, I had the choir. It was on Sunday. And we did it all our heart. We did it so loud the roof almost raised. You remember that? I was thinking about that today. While I was working on it, praise Him. We did that on Sunday. And it was unacceptable. It was unacceptable. And I thank Him for His mercy and His grace, giving us a chance to see. And that we now, we can be sealed in Shabbat on the seventh day. And tell Him, we're so sorry. He said, that's all right. I got you covered. We got Yeshua. Do what He says. Listen to Him, or I'll require it of you. What you offer represents yourself. And so, if your intention is not to bear fruit in the kingdom and let others eat of the good fruit that you are supposed to bear, but you only serve when it's beneficial to yourself, and you only give it yourself when it suits, and only you can enjoy the fruit of that which you give of yourself, then do not offer yourself for service in His house. Got to do it wholeheartedly, with all your heart. That's what He's teaching us. I kept telling one of those guys, like, look, when it's my turn, I'm going to study really hard. I'm going to take care of that part on Wednesday night, whatever night I got to. And He said He's going to take care of His part. And the whole time I was supposed to be taken care of it regardless, but I would get to that spot. I was like, you know what? It's not my turn this week. I'll take a little break. The Father put me in spots where I had no choice, but you better study like it's your time, whether you like it or not. And He disciplined me. He got on me. And put me in a spot, boy, let me tell you, and He broke me. There were some incidents that happened. Y'all know about it. And it just put me in a spot. There should be no excuse. You should be prepared and you should be ready. And so we talked about it. I said, who's up? I don't know. Maybe you, maybe me. I said, well, I'm going to slay like as if it's me. Rather you come or don't come. He said, that's what I'm going to do. I told my wife, she goes, I've been knowing that. You should have been doing that. Okay. All right. So, anyways, and I'm glad I did, because this has been incredible. It's been an incredible 2 weeks for me. And I'm not going to stop. It's drawing me closer and closer. This is incredible. This is really incredible. chapter 23, his feasts, our rehearsals. I don't know if I'm going to get through all this last part, but I'm going to work on it. I don't know if I'm going to try Naphtali, but I can tell you. I'm really going to try Naphtali in 10 minutes. Woo, man, I tell you. I've tried to slow down, but I can't help it. This is who I am. You've got to love me for who I am. Okay, chapter 23. Because there is many different tribes in the tribe of Israel. They got the ones that love sweets. My brother Preston back there loves the sweets, right? Mm-hmm. Chapter 23, his feasts, our rehearsals. And we've been through these already, but it's getting clearer and clearer. My set apart times, my set apart days, Shabbat's foundation. Then we get to the set apart, we're counting the Omer right now. This Shabbat, this Saturday, right on time, it'll be day 14. Then the next one, 20, it'll keep on going, all the sevens. It's incredible that it lined up like this for us. You know what I'm looking at? It's every seven Shabbats. And so we'll be on the second Shabbat, 14th. Chapter 23 is Feast of Rehearsals. Feast of the Lord. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the appointed times of Yehovah, which you are to proclaim at set apart gatherings, my appointed times, are these. 6 days' work is done, but on the seventh day is a Shabbat of rest. A set apart gathering, you do no work. It is a Sabbath to Yehovah in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of Yehovah, set apart gatherings, which you are to proclaim at their appointed times. In the first new moon, on the 14th day of the new moon, between the evenings, is the Pesach to Yehovah. Footnote, Passover. And on the 15th day of this new moon is the festival of Matzah to Yehovah. 7 days you eat unleavened bread. Footnote, unleavened bread. On the first day you have a set apart gathering, you do no Shabbat work. And you shall bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah for 7 days. Now, talking about these no Shabbat work on certain days, I went through all over my calendar according to what was going to do the first time to go around the new year. And there was one particular day I worked on this couple to try and avoid the day that was going to fall there, so I put them right on the spot. There was no holy convocation. Well, we moved to the week ahead, June 12th. And this couple is, they're so sweet, having a lot of work with them. And I got to the point where I wasn't going to call them back. They worked out their schedule really hard, and just I kept avoiding it, kept avoiding it, kept avoiding it, kept avoiding it. I said, you know what, it's just going to be just one day. All the rest of them, just this one day, just one day. And my wife, she got arms and said, look, you're not going to get this family in trouble and get sick and stuff. You better do something. I said, look, we got an argument about it. And so I'm sitting in the corner thinking, I'm like, she's not going to let me go on this thing. So I'm laying in bed. I said, Father, you got to help me on this one. And he immediately said, all right, I got to work out. Just pick up the phone and call. I'm like, my heart's pounding. I don't know how it's going to work. I said, that's just going to work out. So I called him up. They didn't answer. I left them a message. See if they could just work this out. I said, look, there's a certain day I didn't catch it from the beginning. But now I have to have this day. Can you move it forward any 3 days to, instead of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Or back? Or another day? And say, oh, I'll get with my husband. I'll see what I can do. And a week goes by, and heard nothing. And then all of a sudden, she comes on in and she says, oh, me and my husband, we'll be glad to move it one more day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Like, it wasn't that hard at all, Marcy, I told you. But you don't know. But now I'm set. I got all my holy convocation days all set to do no Shabbat work on those days. And I can feel shalom now. I'm at peace and rest with it now. It's all set and done. And so sometimes it's not easy. But you got to do it. And I'm just thankful for the Father giving me a wife that listens. On the first day, you have a set apart gathering, you do a civil work. And you shall bring an offering made by fire to Yahweh for 7 days. And this is what I'm going to tell anybody that's struggling with Shabbat or holy convocations. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. It's not hard. It may seem hard, but he's got it all worked out. Mm-hmm. You just got to trust in him. You shall bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah for 7 days. On the seventh day of the set apart gathering, you do not serve our work. The feast of fruits, first fruits. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, to see how many I had left. We're not going to end, but I lost my place. First, no, Feast of Trumpets. I'm trying to find it. There it is. Feast of First Fruits. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and you shall say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, and shall reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priests. And ye shall wave the sheaf before Yehovah for your acceptance. On tomorrow, after the Shabbat, the priest waves it. And we just went through that. First fruits. Coming into the Omer, counting the Omer. Now that day, when you wave the sheaf, you shall prepare a male lamb, a year old, and a perfect one as an ascending offering to Yehovah. And his grain offering, 2/10 of an ephah, a fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to Yehovah. A sweet fragrance. And his drink offering, 1/4 of a hin of wine, and you do not eat bread or roasted grain or fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your Elohim. A law forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. And from tomorrow after Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, you shall count for yourselves 7 completed Sabbaths. Until tomorrow after the seventh Sabbath, you count 50 days. Then you shall bring a new grain offering to Yehovah. That's where we are right now. Bring from your dwellings for a wave offering 2 loaves of bread, 2/10 of an ephah, a fine flour, they are baked with leaven, first fruits to Yehovah. And besides the bread, you shall bring 7 lambs a year old, perfect ones, and 1 young bull and 2 rams. They are an ascending offering to Yehovah with their grain offering and the drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet fragrance to Yehovah. And you shall offer 1 male goat as a sin offering and 2 male lambs a year old as a slaughter of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them beside the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before Yehovah, besides the 2 lambs. They are set apart to Yehovah for the priest. And on this same day you shall proclaim a set apart gathering for yourselves. You do not serve all work on it, a law forever in all your dwellings, throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, do not completely reap the corners of your field when you reap. And do not gather any gleaning from your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am Yehovah, your Elohim. Elohim is incredible. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, the Feast of Trumpets. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the seventh new moon, the first day of the new moon, you have a rest, a remembrance of Teruah. Set apart gathering, sounding by instrument of human voice. You do no civil work, you shall bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. These appointments are very important. These are for our life and for those people's lives around us that we're supposed to be living them for. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. Day of Atonement, Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, on the 10th day of the 7th new moon, in Yom Kippurim, it shall be a set apart gathering for you. You shall flip your beams. You shall bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. The Day of Atonement of the covering. And you do no work on that same day, for it is Yom Kippurim, to make atonement for you before Yehovah Elohim. For any being who is not afflicted on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. I mean, we're getting to that time to where we're going to be clean, set apart. I mean, cleaning ourselves more and more all the way to this point. For any being who is not afflicted on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. And any being who does any work on that same day, that being I shall destroy from the midst of his people. And it will happen. He's not joking. You do no work, a law forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It is a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your being. On the 9th day of the new moon at evening, from evening to evening, you shall observe your Shabbat, Sabbath, Feast of Booths. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the 7th new moon is the festival of Sukkot, for 7 days to Yehovah, to Yehovah. On the first day is a set apart gathering, you do no Shabbat work. For 7 days you bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. On the eighth day, there shall be a set apart gathering for you, and you shall bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. It is a closing festival, you do no Shabbat work. These are the appointed times of Yehovah which you proclaim as set apart gatherings, to bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah, an ascending offering and a grain offering, a slaughtering and drink offerings, as commanded for every day. Besides the Sabbaths of Yehovah, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your voluntary offerings which you give to Yehovah, on the 15th day of the seventh new moon, when you gather in fruit of the land, celebrate the festival of Yehovah for 7 days. On the first day is a rest, and on the eighth day, a rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of good trees, branches of palm trees, twigs of leafy trees, and willows of the stream, and shall rejoice before Yehovah Elohim for 7 days. And you shall celebrate it as a festival to Yehovah for 7 days in the year. A law forever in your generations, celebrated in the seventh new moon. Dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native born in Israel dwell in booths, so that your generations know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Mishreem. I am Yehovah your Elohim. Thus did Moshe speak of the appointed times of Yehovah to the children of Israel. And I'm going to end on this one. What is very, very interesting to note is the clear placement of this chapter in laying out for us the appointed times of Elohim as it fits in well in the flow of the instructions for set-apart living. For by observing these appointed times, we further become established as a set-apart bride. And they got so much in there that's left. Not a whole lot. I think I got like 10 or 12 more slides left. But they're pretty incredible to go through. They're going to be put online. Go through the rest of them. They're incredible if you go along with the rest of this reading. It's been an honor to be here today, to be able to take part in this, to be able to speak. I thank him every day for giving me life and giving me a family like you all. You're an incredible family. And looking forward to more of the family to be connected. They got incredible things happening in 2022. They got incredible things happening. I'm telling you, this week was incredible. It was just those three different days. And I have some more coming up tomorrow and next day. Who knows what's going to happen on those fishing trips? Just be set apart and do your part. Live the journey that Yehovah has given you to live. I can't live out and be on your journey, you can't do mine, but it's going to be incredible on that day when we all come together. Everything we did to bring somebody into the kingdom of Yehovah. Anybody have any prayer requests?